Sometimes people stay in oppressive situations, in relationships, in slavery, in oppression, simply because the devil you know seems better than the devil you don't know. We stay in uncomfortable situations because we are afraid to step out in faith and risk something new. And that was the case with those Israelites in Egypt. They were in bitter slavery. They were like the living dead. And they had a little bit to eat every day. They had some meat and they had some bread and they were surviving. It wasn't much of a life, but they were surviving. And then Moses, at God's behest, goes and challenges them to leave there. And they do. They step out in faith and they risk and they experience all these miracles, the plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea, the parting of the waters, this action of God on their behalf. But think how dangerous it was to cross that water and how fearsome. And yet they kept trusting in Moses and kept trusting in God. And then they find themselves out in the desert. And the desert is a scary place. You can die out there of thirst or of hunger or the wild animals. It's a scary place to go. And they get out there trusting in Moses and trusting in God, but after a short time, they begin to grumble and say, why have you led us out here to die in the wilderness? At least back in Egypt, we had our flesh pots full. Longing for the food of slavery over the food that God could give them. And so God answers them by giving the manna and the quail. So they have meat and bread. But they say, what is this? It was just so strange. They didn't even recognize that it could be bread. We have people throughout the world in every generation, but we're aware of the current situation in Latin America, in Africa, in the Near East, people migrating from one part of the world to another because oppression, poverty, slavery has made them so desperate that they're willing to step out and risk. And you think of the hundreds of miles of danger that those people go through, and then the lack of welcome they get in Europe or here or wherever the case may be. It's always a dangerous thing to migrate, to step out of our slavery into some new possibility, because you don't know what lies ahead. That's one of the reasons we have Lent every year, to remind us that we don't live on bread alone, that no matter how comfortable our situation may look now, God is always holding out something more for us. And God is asking us to go out into the desert to trust. And they couldn't collect any more manna than for one day at a time because they had to trust in God. They couldn't hoard it. They couldn't control it. They had no freezers or refrigerators. And that's our Lenten experience too. That's, you know, we're always on a journey. We're always looking for a homeland. One of the reasons that the church in the first couple of centuries ruled that every Christian church had to face east. When the people were praying, they had to face east. Because east is the expectation that Christ, when he comes again, is going to come up over the eastern horizon. And so our prayer is always a longing and an expectation, a hope of a future that is more than our present. And the Mass is always a reminder of the past. It's a remembrance of what the Lord did for us on the cross and at the Last Supper. But it's also a Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. It's also a looking forward to the future. And so Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lord. So what is that supper of the Lord? Well, it's the Last Supper. It's Calvary. It's today, where we are today. It's at this Mass. But it's also the heavenly banquet. It's the meal of the kingdom. It's the future. And without that future, what we do here wouldn't really make too much sense. But oh, it takes faith. It takes trust. And above all, it takes hope. Because we can argue forever about how hopeless the situation is. But we are the ones in the world who are filled with hope, who live in the promise, who trust in that promise of eternal life. And what is that promise? It's the Lord himself. Jesus is the new Moses leading them across the Sea of Galilee. You know, they cross in boats across the sea to get to the other side where Jesus is. And how did Jesus get there? Well, we missed about 6 verses between last week's reading and this one. And the disciples are in the boat and Jesus comes walking across the water toward them and scares them. And he says, "Don't worry, it's me, it's I." God walks on the water. God separates the water, the sea from the dry land. God is the creator who controls the waters. And so when Jesus says, "I am," he's intending the same word that God gives to Moses, "I am who am. I am the bread of life. Let go of this daily nourishment that you call bread. I'm the bread of life. Anyone who eats me and drinks me will never die, has life eternal, is already stepping into that eternal future that goes deeper than daily bread, that goes wider and more holy and more blameless. And Paul in that second reading reminds us, put away the old way of life and put on the new life in Christ. Put on the new self. Years ago, we were all baptized in that font, which is the Red Sea, which is the Sea of Galilee that we crossed on dry land and put away our old way of life and embraced something new, not knowing what that new was going to be. And here, after all these years, we know a lot more about what that newness is, but we know we have a long way to go yet. We know that this is, it's an eternal pilgrimage, that we're going to be journeying on into the realized kingdom, that with the infinity of God's love and God's life, we will never exhaust it, not even in the realized kingdom, and that's okay. In fact, that's the promise. That's the journey, that's the life, that's God.